Well, this morning's a little bit different than most Sundays around here. On June 13th, 12 Faith Pointers and friends got on the airplane and they headed to Belize to do a mission trip. For some, actually two, it was a repeat, something that they had done 2 years ago, right? For 10 others, it was a brand new experience from them. This morning, you're going to hear some of their experiences. You're going to meet part of the team, some of the folks on the team who couldn't be here this morning. They're either away or sick, and so they couldn't be with us. But you're going to hear from some of those folks and see some of those folks this morning. But before they do, I thought I'd remind you just for a moment of why we do missions. You know, it's been said that the church doesn't really do missions, but the church is mission. Because our mission is the church, is to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus Christ, to share the good news of the gospel, that in Jesus we have life, eternal, everlasting, amazing, awe-filled life. And so there are opportunities that we have at times to serve in mission outside of our comfort zone. You know, the reality is when Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples, actually the better translation of that is, as you are going in your world, which means wherever you are, your work, your school, your social networks, your surroundings, wherever you go, you are supposed to be an ambassador for the gospel. You are supposed to be sharing the good news of Jesus with everyone that you come into contact with as you are going. But there are other times in life where God calls us into a specialized form of ministry, or God calls us to be in ministry in a place outside our comfort zone. And we go for two reasons. One is we're commanded to. We're told to be his witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that really means going around the world. But also there's a sense that God calls us internally, that we get this nudging inside of us that speaks to our heart that says, you got to go. You got to go. You got to do something outside your comfort zone to be in ministry to other people. And so we go on mission trips and, you know, several people benefit, right? The people we go and be in ministry to, they benefit. They benefit physically because many times mission trips are building opportunities where we construct things or we rebuild things or fix things. They're ministry opportunities, and you're going to hear a little bit about that today, but we go and we do things like vacation Bible schools and fun things where the kids actually get to hear from somebody from across the world sometimes that God loves them, and they are a tangible representation of that love to those people. So the people that we go and serve benefit. The missionaries themselves benefit as well, because they have an opportunity to be used by God in many ways that's so outside their comfort zones. You know, getting on that plane and going to a place that you've never been before, being in a place that might be speaking a language that you've never spoken before, that can cause a lot of anxiety, but that just goes away so quickly because the missionaries have an opportunity to receive from God whatever it is and the reason why God called them to be in ministry. So the missionaries benefit. They grow spiritually because they've responded to God calling them to be in ministry. It's interesting that there are actually people who go on mission trips who come to faith in Christ for the very first time because they're out in the world telling them, hey, God loves you. And for some, they realize, well, I never realized and appropriated that for myself. So for a lot of people who go and serve in ministry, serve in mission, they benefit because their relationship with Jesus either takes off or moves to a whole deeper level. And then the church, all of you, all of us, who helped invest in this mission trip through donations, through attending some of the fundraisers, who bought treasures at their yard sale. We benefit as well because they go into the world in our name, in Christ's name. We benefit as well because they come back and they're on fire. They come back and they realize just how blessed they are. Do you know that if you have a part-time job in the United States, you represent the top 1% wage earners in the world if you have a part-time job? And how often do we look at our stuff and we compare ourselves to the people around us? Well, man, I just don't have what they have. I don't have what they have and I don't have what they have. But boy, when you go to other places in the world, you're like, wow, do I have so much stuff. So it changes our perspective and it gets us energized for ministry. The realization that God calls us, all of us, to do ministry, to be in ministry. And so I'm really pleased that we have the opportunity to hear some testimonies of some folks who went on our mission trip. They were our ambassadors, and they were Christ's ambassadors. And they grew, and they learned, and their hearts were touched. And I hope that you will allow your heart to be touched as well as we hear some of their stories. So I'm going to invite Amy to come up and share with us. Amy was the trip leader. She organized this whole thing, and she's going to start by sharing with us a little bit about her experiences and the team's experience.
So when we were in Belize, their church taught us many things. One of the first things they taught us when we first got there was that God loves us, and so do they. So I just want to open this up for you guys, if you feel comfortable, to just get up out of your seats and give a handshake or a hug to those around you, and just be reminded that God loves us and we love each other. You guys did a great job with that. Thank you very much. If you guys want to go ahead and have a seat, I'll get started with our testimonies today. My name is Amy, and I'm a missionary. It kind of took me a little while to figure this out. Pastor George helped me out with that a little bit, so thanks for that. I've got a Facebook page up here to show you guys. This is kind of who I am and how I started out. And I got married and to a great guy, and he's my support system, and he makes all things better for me. So I can't do what I do without him. And I got some great kids, and God's brought me joy in raising them. And then, you know, I got a little mixed up here. The Kentucky Derby is one of my fun things that I do, and that's where I work, and I can get a little caught up in that sometimes, and don't get me wrong, it's fun, but, a couple years ago, I figured out that, I'm a missionary. That's who I am. So the first time I went to Belize, I met some amazing people, and I felt a little sad for these people when I first met them. I met a blind lady, and she was living in a concrete apartment with no running water, and that her home was about as big as my bathroom. And I went out back behind her house, and I cried because I was sad for her. But I missed out. While I was worrying about her, I missed out because inside, she was singing to the team, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. She was happy. These people are truly happy. And when I went back this time, I didn't see it that way. I didn't have to see it that way because I already knew they were happy. So it was just... It was a huge blessing to me. So the last picture up there in the corner is me this year in Belize. I kind of love these pictures because, you know, God knows no race. And I've got myself and three other races up there. And that's pretty cool. And also, I was blessed enough to bring some together from different Christian denominations. We are a Methodist church. We were serving a Baptist church. We brought along some that were Catholic as well. And so just that we are one in Christ. This is what we're about. So I just want you guys to know that I will be back in Belize. So it'll probably be 2 years. So start working on your hearts, because God's going to get a hold of you. You know, the first day that we were there in Belize this time, it was amazing. The day I got married, the day I had the kids, this day was right up there with that. It brought me so much joy. It was the best. You know, I was thinking about being a missionary, and I was in my disciple class at Sylvia Jones' house, and we were just talking, and we were talking about accepting Christ, and I said, well, you know, I accepted Christ in a little church in Indiana when I was about 10 years old, and there was a missionary there that day, and Sylvia said, Amy, does this say something to you? And I'm like, oh, it only took me 40 years to figure this out. So how about that? So we've got a flag here on the front of the podium that the church in Belize gave us. So I brought that for you today to share with you, because we're very proud of that. The next part of this is I'm going to tell you about some of our team members and kind of what they offered us throughout the week. We have two more speakers today that are not going to be represented in my slides, because you're going to hear from them. One of the speakers is my husband's twin, Michelle. Michael and Michelle, love them very much. And then the other speaker is my daughter, Chelsea. So she'll finish us up today, and I thank them for having the courage to get up and talk to you guys, because I have a shy teen that went with me to Belize, but they were shy in speaking, but they were not shy in serving. Every single one of them was fully engaged in their own way. This first slide is Tate. Tate was an amazing mentor for these kids. He did them all proud. He sets this great example. Look at him with those kids. He worked hard. He learned some dance moves from Courtney. The heart on his hands there, that's when he's doing the moves. He got a little tired. There he is resting on the bus. He's holding babies that he didn't know. And there he is in the bunk beds teaching Courtney how to make a bunk bed. These bunk beds were hard to make. We did not know it, but we were making bunk beds out of mahogany. Mahogany is a very hard wood, and if you made a bunk bed out of pine, it might not break 7 drill bits. So we had our work cut out for us, but the team, they persevered. So Tate's not with us today. He's on a 4-month construction project. But his family is all here, and I know they're very proud of him. So let's pray for his for them and him in his absence. This one is Tristan. Tristan happens to be my nephew, my sister's son. He was really transformed this week. Tristan lives in Fort Lauderdale, so he is not able to be with us all the time, but when he's with us, we really enjoy him. And he had a bit of a physical transformation with the hair there. So he got his braids. I love the hard work that he's showing with the bunk beds. I love that he's jumping rope with the kids. And I love it that one of the church leaders there, he's got his arm around her. He loved every bit of these people. I mean, he was with them. He really was. This lady that we delivered the bunk bed to, she was not able to have a bed for the last 3 years. She's 51 and didn't have a bed. So we gave her a bunk bed. The next one is Jamie McKim. And Jamie McKim had been in kind of a tough spot in his life before he met the Anderson family. He was a little bit alone, but he's not alone now. The Anderson family has embraced him. And God gave me the blessing of being there to see Jamie when he saw the ocean for the very first time. So that was really, that was special for all of us. And he got to, there he is with his Marley braids on in the picture with the group there. And he's working hard. And the last photo down there is Jamie down there smiling in the front. The last night, since it was hard making these beds, the last night after our closing service, we went and to home and assembled a bunk bed. And these guys assembled a bunk bed in a house in the dark with no electricity by some phone lights. And so that photo was taken by some phone lights. So the next one is Marley. This is my niece. I call her the teacher and the tool warrior. She really got into the VBS. She really got into the kids. She taught them some things. And she decided she wanted to learn how to make bunk beds. So there she is with her drill and with her mom. The next slide is Courtney. Courtney just loves kids. And there she is. She's always got a kid in her hands. And while she's got a kid in her hands with her other arm, she is teaching us some song moves at VBS. So very proud of her. And she's another one of the kids that was all about learning how to make the bunk beds. And so there she is with her drill. And in all of this, somehow Courtney found time to get out with us in the yards with this blind lady and help her get a little exercise. So praise for that. This is Derek. And Derek is a really shy guy. And I was like, Derek, you know, you're going to do some dance moves. We did not need dance moves from Derek because he was picking up the kiddos. He was jumping rope with them. He was getting his hands dirty, working on a wall for the church, and he was making bunk beds. And at the end of the week, shy Derek said, I'm ready to come back. So I'm going. You coming? This is Kelly. Kelly, she reminds me of Christ because she is always in conversation. She is always listening. I remember the story about Jesus and the lady was fussing because her friend was spending time with Jesus instead of working in the kitchen. And that's what Kelly does. She's in the background. She's listening, and she is encouraging. And she's what kept this team going this week. So thanks, Kelly. This is Kimberly. I met Kimberly a month ago. She was supposed to go on this trip, but I didn't know it. So we sent out an email blast, and we said, hey, we've got a spot. We've got a plane ticket. And Kimberly said, I'm going. And I know she was scared. I know she was. She's a little overwhelmed at first, but she dug right in. She dug in with the people. This girl can work. She really can. She put some sweat into these bunk beds. She put her heart into it, and we got them done. So thanks to her for that. And there she is with the ladies in the kitchen. It is amazing the bonding that can take place in a church kitchen. And it's a tiny little kitchen, and they circle around, and they love each other. And she's up there with Tristan, too. She did some teenager bonding, too. This is Diana. Diana Long is sick today. And I know she must be really sick because she really wanted to be here with us today. But Diana very quickly, early in the week, said to me, I feel like this is where my heart is. She wants to serve. And there she is. She's with the blind lady. She's with the VBS kids, and she's working hard. This next one is just about, it's about Belize. People ask me, you know, isn't Belize beautiful? And I'm like, Yeah, God made a beautiful place there, but what's really beautiful about Belize is the human spirit. These people are amazing. This lady, the short lady with me in the picture, her name is Filiberta. 2 years ago, we brought her a Bible, and it was in English, and she only speaks Spanish, and she kissed the Bible when we left her 2 years ago. And there she was last week holding the Spanish Bible because we decided we better bring some Spanish Bibles. So there she is. Right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the team to come up. We brought a banner from VBS with us. And I'm going to ask each one of the team members that's with us today, if you're speaking, you don't have to. But if you're not, I'd like for you to come up and I'm just going to ask them to give you just one word, and they're going to show you the VBS banner. We made this in Belize. It says God loves us on it, and there are two pictures on the banner. One is of our church, and one is of their church. And the kids finger-painted hearts on the banner. So don't be shy, guys. Okay, Kimberly, one word for me.
Love.
Amen. Courtney.
Life-changing. Life-changing.
She said life-changing.
Flexible.
Flexible. All right. Thanks, Marley. No word for you.
Okay. Memorable.
Memorable. All right. Jamie.
Joyful.
Amen.
Excitement.
Excitement.
Wonderful experiences.
Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. All right. So at this time, Michelle's going to come up, and she's going to talk with you guys about her experiences. She wants to stand down there.
That's fine. When we had our meeting, we were going through seeing, like, what we remembered most. One of the things that hit me first, and I'll make this quick, was on Sunday, when we had a full day there, they had us go out in groups to meet the community and go through the neighborhoods. And when I say neighborhoods, you can't imagine that the term is loosely neighborhoods. You're going through dirt roads. You're going from basically little hovel to little hovel. And I was like, so we're just going to walk down the road and these people are going to come out and talk to us? And they were like, yes. So we're walking down the road, and we're just standing, you know, not at their door because they really don't have doors, but just going, hey, hello. And how many of you all have ever, in all your life, somebody comes to your door, have you ever hidden? Okay, I'm not crazy. You turn off all the lights, you pretend you're not home, and that's what you do. So it really floored me. For 45 minutes, it took me that much time to understand. I kept repeating over and over. So let me get this straight. We're going to just keep walking, and the people are just going to come out and talk to us. Really? You know, it was just so strange. And they did. And actually, Praying Pelican, I talk to a lot of people all the time. But you never really get to know a lot of people that you talk to. And they taught us kind of like an anagram of how to go through and talk to somebody you've never spoke with and actually learn something about them. And so we were doing that, going through, and it was just amazing how everyone that in our group went, they would come out and talk to us, whether it was in the middle of their dinner. You know, they were so polite, and we learned, like, what their needs were, who they were, what they did for a living, what they needed in their life. And that was just really interesting, very in-depth. Well, the strange thing, and that was one of the things that I really, it just floored me. And then I guess it was a week from, well, when we got back Sunday morning, Monday morning, I was quiet in the home. I was off that day. A man walks up to my door, or to the window, because my door wasn't open, and asked me for a drink of water. And I'm like, yeah, sure, you can have one. you know, and I immediately went and got him water, went out and talked to him. And normally that would have been one of those instances that I probably would have shut the blinds and, you know, not even, well, may have said, yes, I'll give you a glass of water, here you go, and go ahead, you're on your way. But he had stopped at my house, and I wasn't afraid. I talked to him to find out what his life was like, what he was going through, and what his needs were. And, you know, it was a 15-minute conversation, and by the end of the talk, I learned a lot about him. I sent him on his way with some food, water, and a little bit of money for gas. I mean, he was actually pushing a lawnmower, but I didn't see that at first. But that's what he needed, and did it for the right reasons. And that was just like a turning point, you know, something that carried from Belize to here. So I think definitely I'll listen better to people and find out what they're going through and helping them if I can. So that was it.
It's my turn. I'll take my gun.
Okay, so I'm Chelsea, for those of you who don't know me. I'm Amy's daughter, and I went to Belize 2 years ago, and then I came back this year. And just to give you an idea of how amazing Belize is, there is, like, no water pressure in the showers. Like, I could barely wash my hair. There are tons of beetles and mosquitoes. I got eaten alive. Don't even look at my legs. They're covered in bug bites. Now you're all looking. Stop. But and the heat index was like 120 degrees while we were there. It was so hot. It was so humid. I don't think my skin was dry the entire time I was there between sweat and humidity. That's one of the things that I wrote down in my journal that I missed the most was the feeling of dry skin. And it didn't smell too great. Like, imagine there's all these stray cats in this city. Now multiply that by like 10, and then now they're dogs. There are so many stray dogs in Belize, and they're all pregnant and or in heat, and that's not fun to watch. And it's super, super dirty. Most of those people had dirt floors. It was all around really gross. But it was the best week of my life, and I would give up anything. I would give up everything to go back, despite all of the nastiness and heat and not dry skin, and that is how amazing Belize was. That is how amazing those people were. It didn't matter how hot, how humid, how gross it was, how gross I was feeling. It was amazing. It was the best week of my life, and I would give up everything to go back. On the first day of church service, we were there in the morning for an hour and a half for Sunday school, and then we were there for 2 hours and 30 minutes for the actual service. So we were at church for 4 hours. That was really hard to pay attention. I've never fallen asleep in church before, but I came really close. 4 hours, after that long day of flying and traveling, I came really close to falling asleep, and it was really hard to pay attention. But during Sunday school, we walked around, and we were recruiting kids for VBS, and there was this little girl named Beyonce who walked up and started walking around with us and handing out the little flyers that we had cut out, and so then she followed us back to church, and whenever we were singing our worship songs at the end, she was worshiping like nobody had ever seen before. Like, she was worshiping a lot with her heart, more into it than a lot of the adults that I know, even in this church. And she's 8 years old. She came to church by herself. She just walked to church with us. I don't know a lot of kids that will go to church without their parents. I don't really go to church without my parents. I know not very many people in my family would go to church without their parents. But this 8-year-old girl was worshiping her little heart out in the pews, just standing with me. And she was an amazing person. Another story that I have that really amazed me, was there was this woman, Esther, who we had seen 2 years ago when we went to Belize. And whenever we came up to her house 2 years ago for the first time, she was sitting in the house comforting her mother-in-law because she's bedridden. Well, not bedridden. She had a hammock that she slept in. They didn't have beds except for a beaten-up mattress out in the yard that her six boys were playing on. And we come to find out that two of these kids are not even hers. They're people from next door whose mother abandoned them, and she just took them in, even though she doesn't even really live there. Her mother-in-law does, and she's just taking care of her, and she already has four boys, but she took them in anyways. And we really just wanted to see her again this year. And at first, we never thought we were going to see her again, but one of our leaders, Yvette, we showed her a picture with Esther, and she took us to her house. And it turns out that this little old woman that we had prayed for, who was bedridden in her hammock, was up and moving around and living on her own. And she took us to Esther's house after like three different visits. She finally was like, okay, I'll just get in the car with you and show you where Esther lives. So we got to Esther's house and we talked to her. And then we were late for our closing service, but we came afterwards with a bunk bed, and she was in tears. She was so overjoyed to have this new bed in her house. And like my mom was saying, it was like pitch black outside. We were using our phone lights to put this bunk bed together. And but a lot of us were outside talking to Esther, and she did not really want to open up to us. She was scared of what we might think of her because she thought she was weak, but she's one of the strongest people I have ever met. Her husband is a drunk, and he comes home every night and beats her and her children. And she was scared whenever we pulled up. Her kids were scared and went hiding whenever we pulled up because she thought it was her husband coming home to beat her. And she was scared to tell us because she didn't want us to think badly of her. She didn't want us to think that she was weak or a bad person for letting her kids get put through that. But she was just, it was amazing to see her and to get to know her again. And just to see all of these people. They were all so beautiful and amazing and wonderful. And it was just, it was the experience of a lifetime. And like I keep saying, I would give up everything to go back even for just a day.
You know, I would encourage you at some point, you saw who went on this mission trip, to ask each one of them to just say, would you tell me a story about what the week was like for you? Because as Amy said, several of them are pretty shy. But if you ask them directly, they'll be able to tell you some stories, because it is amazing what God will do in you and with you and through you and actually in spite of you when you go to serve in mission. And I would just throw out to you, if you might think that God might be speaking to you about missions opportunities and say, well, what can I do? Well, I would encourage you to check out in the bulletin in the lower left-hand section inside. Brian and Noel Worm have opened up a mission trip for us to be a part of. This is the second year for them, correct? And they are going to North Dakota to an Indian reservation, which is, you can see it up here. It is one of the poorest places in the whole country. And so it is an opportunity for you to go be in mission here in the United States for Tuesday through Friday. It's affordable, and so would encourage you, if you feel God might be kind of tugging at your heart or calling you, saying, go, 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 don't let money be an issue, because when God calls, God provides. And so would encourage you to see if that might be a place that you want to serve. If that's way out of your comfort zone, there's other missions opportunities. Remember, the church is missions. It's not just doing missions. The church is missions. And so throughout the month, we have opportunities at a nursing home. We have opportunities at the Wayside Christian Mission. Again, you can read about these in your bulletin. But I would encourage you to be a people who are responding, to be in mission, to be in ministry. God has called us to go into the world. Let's change the world through him. Would you pray with me? God, we give you thanks that 3 weeks ago we prayed and commissioned these folks off to go and to serve you and to be your hands and feet. And Lord, we thank you for all that they have done. Lord, I thank you for kind of the reverb effect of the things that are continuing to happen. We heard one of those stories about just being open to how we might be in ministry to people who even come knocking on our door. And so, Lord, I pray that the continuing reverb effect of that ministry, of that mission, would be felt both here in our church and literally around the world. And so, Lord, I thank you for these, your servants who said yes. And Lord, I pray that their witness might be a catalyst for us as well, because you call all of us to go into the world, to change the world, to make followers of you. So help us to be responsive for that. We pray all this in Jesus' name.